Easter Sunday morning probably has different memories for different people. For me as a young boy, it meant two things. The enforced fast from sweets was over. Easter eggs were available directly after the breakfast. And there was no going to Mass daily for another year at least. Unless you were an altar boy and you got stuck, you had the unfortunate short straw of where you were on Easter Monday. That was the killer, because you were on heavy duty over the weekend, and if you got stuck for Easter Monday, it was a hard thing. But anyway, Easter Monday Mass was always very short. As to the thing about Jesus, we knew he was raised, and it was the same stories each year. You know, it came from the same sources, and after a few years, you kind of knew the story. And no matter which angle they came from, you pretty much knew, I'd say, as people know today, have the angle in it. So on an Easter Sunday morning, you really are stuck. Your only topic really is something on the resurrection. If I spoke on something else, you'd say, O'Sullivan has lost the plot. So what can you say that is fresh or that's insightful about the resurrection that has already been said? Well, let's see. If there's anything fresh there, we'll give it a shot. So, Lord, we do commit this to you. Lord, about what I'm about to say, Lord, may everything to be said that needs to be said, anything that doesn't need to be said, Lord, may it be forgotten about specifically by me. So, Lord, the sermon will be short, simple, and relevant to all who hear it. And all God's people said, amen. That's good, isn't it? Short, relevant, and simple. We'll see how we do with that. I want to begin by asking you a question. The answer to this question will make this talk more bearable, and it could even make it more interesting. But you've got to answer this question for yourself. What matters most to you? If you had experienced a gross miscarriage of justice, arrested unlawfully, falsely accused, tried, convicted, and put to death, and suddenly and miraculously you came back to life, what would be your top priority? I think for many people it would be this: vindication. Gross miscarriage of justice. Everything about it was illegal. I want my name cleared. Vindication. It's pretty much a human response, isn't it? Second question. If you were Jesus and you had vast power and authority, because Jesus had all power, all authority belonged to him. If you were him and you had vast power and authority, whose door would you knock at first? You have been falsely accused. The arrest was illegal. You've been tried, convicted, put to death, all unlawfully, all unjustly. Miraculously, you're put back to life. And now you have power, both in heaven and on earth. You are actually the most powerful person there is. Whose door would you knock at first? What matters most to you? See, all that was a reality of the first Easter Sunday morning. They were all options that were available to Jesus. So what matters most to you? To many people, it would have been vindication. What matters most to Jesus? Because what matters will tell you a great deal about people and what ultimately drives them. Well, for Jesus, it was neither vindication or compensation. Because often, humanly speaking, one follows the other, doesn't it? Vindication and compensation. That is not what mattered to Jesus. A day will come when he will be vindicated. Vindication is important, but it wasn't that what mattered to him on that morning. First reading. So the women, or the first to the tomb, hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. They came to him, clasping his feet and worshipping him. So what mattered most to him? Verse 10. Then Jesus said, this is to the women, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." What mattered most to him was reconnecting. He had already connected with the women at the tomb. And now what was matter to him was reconnecting with him, his disciples. I don't know if you ever thought about that in that way. How many of us would put down reconnecting as our top priority if we had to go through that grace, that horrendous gross injustice? It may be a priority, but I'm not sure that it would be many people's first priority. So he reconnecting. "Go, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Reconnecting, number one. Second thing that he did was this. Reassuring. It just wasn't enough to be reconnecting. Because when he actually connects with them, the first thing he wants to do is to reassure them. On the evening of the first day, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came, stood among them, and said, "Peace be with you." Inside in that room was a group of fearful, frightened men who had failed Jesus. Failure and fear was what was in that room. And Jesus' priority is to connect with them, in this case, to reconnect and to reassure them. You would say something if they had stood by him through thick and thin and they were there when it mattered the most. But tremendous fear hit him and they deserted him and even Peter disowned him. And what's his priority? To reconnect and to reassure. "Peace be with you." It was the one thing they didn't have. They had all kinds of turmoil, they had all kinds of grief, they had all kinds of confusion with the women coming and telling them. And now he just shows up from nowhere. "Peace be with you." How do we know his reassurance? Verse 20, you couldn't get it any clearer. And he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. But it seems so low-key and so insignificant. Such a great event, death being conquered. Jesus having this vast power and this vast authority. It seems to be that he's not making the best use of it, is he? Appearing to a group of frightened, fearful men who really bottled it and failed it when they desperately needed it. Can you imagine the Jerusalem and times, Jesus' followers bottled under fear, headed for the hills, and now are in hiding. Jesus is now raising the dead, allegedly, but nobody has seen him. That means nobody of significance in either the religious world or in the secular world. Well, people had seen him. The people that mattered to Jesus were the people that he reconnected with and he gave reassurance. Isn't that remarkable? But it's not the kind of thing that gives you world press, is it? Nobody saw him inside that room, only the disciples. Nobody saw him at the tomb, only the women that he appeared to. But to the religious authorities, who were responsible for putting him to death, along with the secular authority, Rome, he completely bypasses them. How many people would be waiting with that kind of power to knock at Caiaphas' door, the high priest? and say, remember me. And then we go over to Pilate. I think you and I have unfinished business. How many people would be gooding to do that? How many people would think of what Jesus is doing is completely, while it might be important, it shouldn't be a top priority. There's plenty of time for reconnecting at another time, especially when those lads realize what they have done and at least come back and apologize. But he's going to them. So his priority, reconnecting, reassuring. And lastly, restoring. You see, this is Jesus speaking to Peter. We've looked at it before, down through the years. Peter denied him 3 times. We know the story. And 3 times he asked, do you love me? And the 3rd time, Jesus said, feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and somebody else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. Jesus' main man, the headline would say, deserted him. Desertion. If you were in the army and you deserted, you'd be shot in a wartime situation. What's Jesus doing with him? He's restoring him. Reconnecting, reassuring, restoring. It's quite remarkable, isn't it? But that's exactly what he did. What mattered most to Jesus were people. That is what mattered most to him. Not vindication. That will come. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess in heaven and earth that Jesus is Lord. That will come. But that wasn't the most important thing. The most important thing were people of whom were his followers and were committed to him and him to them. That is what mattered the most. And that's why you have all these appearances that seem so insignificant. It would be missed today by modern media, wouldn't it? You see, if we were planning the resurrection, first of all, we would have Jesus dying when television was available. And we'd have the world press and cameras at the tomb. And we'd be doing the countdown and waiting for Jesus to come out. And then, of course, there would be some exclusive interviews, prearranged. But that wasn't the priority. The priority was people. He reconnected with them. No matter what account you read of the resurrection, it's all about connecting. And it's reconnecting with them. It was about reassuring them that he was alive and that it was real. And then he was able to open their minds as to what was really going on scripture-wise. And it was about restoring them. Yes, they battled under fear. They disowned him, yes. And even Peter deserted him, yes. But the gospel that Jesus preached was a gospel that he himself came to reconnect people with God. To reassure them that sin was forgiven and things could be put right, and to restore everything that had been lost as a result of sin, and saying, with this God, there is a second chance. What he lived and what he preached was exactly what he did on the morning of the resurrection. He was living the message that he preached himself. He came from heaven to reconnect people with God. He came to reassure them, even though things had gone radically wrong, there was a plan to rescue them and to restore them. He was that message, so it makes perfect sense that he's going to go to people whom he has preached that message to. Now, the question that we really ask simply is this. As a follower of Jesus, what matters most to you? Vindication, compensation is what matters most of the time to people. If we say we want to become like Jesus, then reconnecting with people who have mucked it up, it is part of the process. Reassuring them that what has been offered is real, and the ability to be able to forgive and restore. You can see the brilliance of the way Jesus did it, because he modeled the message that he preached. When people don't matter as much, it's very easy to go after them for the wrong reasons. A day would come when Caiaphas would have to stand before Jesus. Jesus was able to wait for that day. A day would come when Pilate would have to stand before him. Jesus was able to wait for that day. That day of vindication will come. In the meantime, what mattered was reconnecting, reassuring, and restoring relationships. And that was the message that he preached to those men by his actions, and then gave them the power and the authority to do the same. Ultimately, the gospel is about reconnecting with God, reassuring us that he has a plan and a purpose, and restoring what is lost. The brilliance of Jesus is the way he did it, and it seems so insignificant, but utterly brilliant. The other stuff that we would do first, he will do last. But what mattered most was the relationship that he had with people. As a follower of Jesus, do I place the same value as he does? Reconnecting, reassuring, and restoring. Ultimately, that is one of the messages of Easter Sunday morning. There is more messages in there. The one thing that Jesus didn't do was 1 Corinthians 15 give a biblical defense of the resurrection. He waited for another 30 years for Paul to come along, and Paul did that for us. In the meantime, he just showed up to lads and said, I'm alive, look at me. Peace be with you. And now follow me and we'll start again, lads, and on we go. Lord, help us to value what you value. Lord, we live in a world of where vindication, compensation is really important. And Lord, there's a place for it where nothing is, there's not a place. But Lord, among the people of God, Lord, reconnecting, reassuring, and restoring, Lord, is at best hit and miss. And certainly, Lord, there isn't the same value put on it as you have put on us. Lord, where there's wrong or damage done, Lord, the truth is we're waiting for them to come to connect with us. We're waiting for them to come, Lord, and put it right. And yet, Lord, as we read these just short passages of the resurrection, we see, Lord, that it's the other way around. That you were right, and yet you did all the reconnecting, reassuring, and restoring. Lord, if we want to be something like you, may we have something of the heart that you had towards people. How do I close this? I close it with this. I no longer call your servants, because a servant doesn't know his father's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything I have learned from my father, I have made known to you. The Father sent Jesus to reconnect people with him, through him. He sent Jesus to reassure them that he loved them. And he sent Jesus to do the work that only he could do to restore. As a follower of Jesus, I think he expects us to be able to follow that example. To the glory of God, we pray. Amen.